God versus Superman. Hello and welcome to episode number 2 of the Ex-Hindu Atheist podcast from exhinduatheist.com. If this is your first time listening to the show, I recommend that you start from episode 1 because I'm kind of building a case for atheism episode by episode, and you will get more value out of this if you follow it in order. But it doesn't matter. You can listen to the show directly on my website at hinduatheist.org, and it's also available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts app, and wherever else you get your podcasts. Just search for Hindu Atheist as two words and you will find it. All right, on today's episode, you're going to witness history being made. I'm going to do something that no one ever in the history of humans has ever done, and that is I'm going to be interviewing somebody from the future, 2,000 years into the future, from the year 4021. Yes, and I'm going to talk about the logical fallacy known as unfalsifiability and why God is an unfalsifiable being. And I'm going to share something deeply personal and painful that I've never ever shared with anybody else other than my wife. But first, let's roll the tape from this interview I did with someone from the year 4021. Hey man, welcome to the show. Can you please start with telling us your name?
Hi, my name is Supermanya.
Oh, cool. Thank you for being here, Supermanya.
No, not Supermanya. I said Supermanya. I was named after Lord Superman.
Wait, did you say Lord Superman? Is Superman a god in the 41st century?
Of course. He's been our one true god for over 1,000 years. What makes you question that?
No, I mean, I hate to burst your bubble, but Superman is not really a god. He's just a fictional character created by actual humans, writers Jerry Siegel and artist Joe Shuster from DC Comics.
Are you crazy? Lord Superman is absolutely real. There have been books written about him from 2,000 years ago. There were movies made about him. There were millions of people around the world who used to wear t-shirts with his name. They had his pictures on the wall growing up. There were TV shows. There were even big buildings created to showcase his statues. In fact, they even found large statues of him buried deep underground in a holy place called Hollywood.
You mean Hollywood?
No, it's actually called Hollywood. Get your facts straight. They found a lot of Lord Superman's artifacts in that region, in an underground temple called Warner Brothers. And today, millions of people around the world go to Hollywood every year as a pilgrimage. So yes, he's very much real. Did you know that he could fly? He had laser vision and he could heat a cup of water just by looking at it. He could walk on water, and it is said that he once reversed time by flying fast around the Earth in the reverse direction over and over again with lightning speed. And he made the Earth rotate in the opposite direction, which made time go backwards. Can you believe that?
Wait, I've seen that scene. It's from the first Superman movie with the actor Christopher Reeves. I was actually a child and I went to the theater to watch that movie.
Oh, shut up. You know nothing. My great-grandparents worshipped him. My grandparents had pictures of him and worshipped him. My parents worship him. My entire country worships him. Are you saying all those millions of people are fools? Yes, I worship him too, as a god.
Okay, Supermania. Looks like truth and rationality did not travel to the 41st century. May Lord Superman bless you. Be honest, that was a pretty cool skit, right? But do you see what I mean? Believing that God is real just because there are books that are written hundreds or thousands of years ago that make the claim, books that were obviously written by humans, but apparently God whispered it to them in their ears, and there is no proof that he did, he or she, it depends on which God you follow, most of the powerful gods seem to be men, conveniently, books that claim Jesus turned water into wine, books that claim parakaya pravesha, the power of one's soul to enter into another's body, whether that's an animal or bird or even another human being. And there's actually books that say that Adi Shankaracharya actually did that. And here's one of the most extraordinary stories. So Adi Shankaracharya once defeated a guy named Mandana Mishra in a debate, but that guy's wife, who acted as the moderator of the debate, challenged him by asking him difficult questions about sex and love and stuff like that, which she knew Adi Shankara could not answer because of his astute brahmacharya, aka celibacy. So the wise Shankara asked her for some time so that he could come back and give her the answers. And one day he saw that they were about to burn the dead body of a king named Amaruka. So he told his disciples that he is going to enter into the body of the king Amaruka and he asked his disciples to preserve his own body in a cave until he returns. And then Adi Shankara entered his soul, entered King Amaruka's body, and went back to the king's palace. During his life as a king, he learned all about sexual pleasures and other things. And then he returned to his own body after some time and conveniently answered all the questions. And that is the oldest proof for Parakaya Pravesha, which means entering your soul, entering somebody else's body. And that's paraphrasing from the website tamilandvedas.com. There are also a number of other websites that have published this story. Now, seriously, do you believe that crazy story? If you believe somebody was in a debate, they were asked about sex, they didn't know anything about it, so they left their own body and then entered the body of another person, of a dead person, and then enjoyed great sex with that person's wife, and then in the name of research, and then his followers almost burned his own body because they thought he wasn't coming back, and then, of course, he goes back to his own body just in the nick of time, like in the movies, and then he goes on to win the debate, and everybody cheers. Come on now. If you believe that story, then you'll probably believe anything. Okay, let me tell you this. I want to sell you the Taj Mahal. Because you know why? The soul of Shah Jahan recently entered my body, and I'm happy to sell you the Taj Mahal for only 10 lakh rupees. And I have a special one-time offer discount going on right now for the New Year's, and you need to contact me within 3 days. Just tell me where to send you the registration papers, and I'll tell you where to send the money. But seriously, do you realize how ridiculous all of that sounds when you go forward 2,000 years and hear somebody talking the same way about Superman? And there's nothing I can say or do to make them realize that Superman is a made-up fictional character? Why is it that every extraordinary claim in any religion, anywhere in the world, whether it's turning water into wine or dead people coming back to life, or your soul leaving your body and entering somebody else's body, having great sex and then coming back to your celibate body, why are all these extraordinary claims always from hundreds or thousands of years ago? Because it is so convenient to say that there's no proof. There's no videos, there's no photographs. Obviously, nobody who witnessed this is living. Why is there never any darn proof for any of these claims? Why have no such things have ever been captured on camera? Cameras have been around for what? Over 100 years. So are you saying there's not a single thing that has happened that could actually be captured on camera? Why does it always have to be hearsay? Why is it that in 200,000 years of human civilization and probably 100 billion people who have lived and died on this earth at one point or the other, why is there not even one single shred of proof that there's something supernatural or something that's divine or fourth dimension or anything like that? Nothing. Zero demonstrable proof. Nothing but hearsay and stories and more stories and more magical stories. Whether you accept it or not, everything about God and religion is made up by humans. Extraordinary stories made up by people with extraordinary imagination or extraordinary ambition for power or control or the need to feel safe, need to feel comfort. Robert M. Persig, author of Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, said, quote, "When one person suffers from a delusion, it's called insanity. When many people suffer from a delusion, it is called religion." It's so funny and so true. If any of the 33 million gods, if even one of them, or the thousands of other gods from other religions ever wanted to destroy atheists like me, or at least make us shut the hell up for once and for all, and if they wanted to come to your support, all the people who are being told, all the religious people and God-fearing people who are being told, you know, who have to listen to idiots like me saying there's no God, if even one of those millions of gods wanted to just shut the hell up, make us shut the hell up, then all they had to do was appear just one time, just one damn time on camera, somewhere, anywhere in the world. Today, because now we have cameras and we have everything, right? So no more future generations saying, oh, I wish they had something to capture that extraordinary event. We would have all the technology we need to capture that. So maybe one of those 33 plus million gods could call a news conference, create one simple miracle like turn one single cup of water into wine. Just a small cup. And they can disappear forever. No questions asked after that, ever. That video will live on forever and ever for the rest of eternity, making sure that there's not another lousy atheist in this world like me to question the existence of God, and everybody becomes a believer forever and the world happily rides off into the sunset. Why? Why does that not happen? Okay, so here's another example. You believe in science, right? And you probably believe in gravity. So what would you say if somebody came up to you and said, bah, that gravity is all BS. That's all nonsense. There's no such thing. The earth is flat, which is why we are all standing. We are able to stand and nothing is flying off the surface because it's a flat surface. Now, at first, you would probably try to argue with them that the earth is not flat. And if you can't convince them with your own words, because they don't trust you, they don't look at you as an authority, you will try to see, okay, who else is an authority? What else is an authority? Maybe you'll look to send them like a TED Talk video from a famous scientist, or the link to a high-profile book, or articles on a popular website. What if they said, nah, all the photos are fake, I don't believe them? Then you're probably like, okay, take a look at this video, it's taken from a space station. And they're like, nah, that's a fake video, all computer graphics. And then you say, okay, what about this video of the moon landing? And they'll be like, nah, that was also fake, all filmed in a movie studio in Hollywood. And that's how it is, trying to argue with somebody who believes in God. They have already so many ready-made reasons for all of their beliefs, even if there is zero proof. They believe because they want to believe. Not because it's true, not because it's rational, not because they want to believe in things that are true, not because they want the truth or seek evidence or seek reality, just simply because they want to believe it. For no other reason other than generations and generations of childhood indoctrination. So back to the flat earth example. What if a flat earther says there's no gravity, we're all able to stand attached to this earth because God wants us to be on this earth and he wants us to stay attached? Then you say, that's not how science works. Okay, maybe some of them would agree that there is gravity, but they will give credit to God for that gravity also, because they'll say God made this universe, so he was the one who created gravity. So for every argument you make, their answer is, science is fake, God made this stuff. When a child is born, people will thank God for it being born, right? Being alive and happy and healthy. Hashtag blessed that both mom and child are happy and healthy. Hashtag God is great. So was God really responsible for that great, awesome event? If you believe in a God, then you probably say yes, right? Now, I want to share something with you, deeply personal, that I haven't told anybody else, and it's also a very painful thing. A long time ago, my late mother, she delivered a dead baby. Yes, a dead baby. She carried it to full term, and the baby was born dead. I was technically my parents' second child. And of course, they never had any more kids, so I ended up being their only child. My parents never ever talked to me about it. I found out about it from my grandmother, I think, when I was in my teens. My mother never really recovered from that pain, and my father one day was able to bring it up, but he couldn't get past saying two sentences about it before he broke down, and that was that. We never talked about it again because I didn't want to bring up such deeply painful memories, and I never actually ever once discussed it with my mother. So did God cause that baby to be dead? Some would say, if you believe in God, then they would say, yes, that was God's plan for the baby. Believers would say, the baby wasn't destined to survive and now is a better place with God. God's love doesn't work that way. God's love is inscrutable. God doesn't always interfere in all events, and they'll call it free will. Essentially, all of their arguments for God are impossible to disprove because they're undisprovable. They're untestable. Do you see the flaw in that logic? People will twist anything and everything to give credit to God in one way or the other. God has got to be the luckiest being ever, right? Get credit for everything, get blame for nothing. What a wonderful life with no responsibilities. Because those who believe in God, even if they're going through their worst time, like a baby dead on arrival, or a baby killed in an accident, or getting cancer, or thousands of people murdered, it doesn't matter how horrible the event. They'll come up with one excuse or the other to either leave God out of it altogether or give him or her a pass, because that's how things were quote-unquote meant to be. So that's the biggest problem with the God theory. The belief in God is an unfalsifiable, fallacious argument. It's a fallacy. It's a logical fallacy. So what is unfalsifiability? According to logicallyfallacious.com, unfalsifiability is, quote, confidently asserting that a theory or hypothesis is true or false, even though the theory or hypothesis cannot possibly be contradicted by an observation or the outcome of any physical experiment, usually without strong evidence or good reasons. Making unfalsifiable claims is a way to leave the realm of rational discourse, since unfalsifiable claims are often faith-based and not founded on evidence and reason, end quote. So God is basically a faith-based argument. God is an unfalsifiable being. Do you realize what faith is, at least when it comes to the context of God or religion? Faith is what is required in the absence of any evidence. Now, let me make up this imaginary scenario where Osama bin Laden is on a trial in a court of law. The lawyer says, "Mr. bin Laden, were you behind the attacks on 9/11, which killed almost 3,000 people?" And bin Laden says, "No, Your Honor, I did not. Trust me. Please have faith in me. I'm a God-fearing religious man, and I'm telling you, I had nothing to do with 9/11. And the judge says, "Okay, Mr. bin Laden, we'll take your words for it on faith. We don't need any evidence. You'll not even look for any evidence because we love having faith in anything and everything, especially because you're also a God-fearing religious man, so you must be a good person. And if you say you didn't do it, we'll believe you. Case dismissed. You can go home now and you're a free man. Enjoy." Can you imagine that scenario where the world did not ask for any evidence, did not try to find any proof, but simply took him on his words because of faith? That is why faith is a very dangerous thing. It is also a very unreliable way of determining whether something is real or not. We do not use faith to even determine the smallest of smallest things, like a simple car accident where somebody ran into somebody else's car and made a dent. We don't take anybody's word for it. We look for proof for even the smallest of things. So if you're okay with believing God based on faith without asking for any proof or evidence, then do you also believe in Santa Claus? Do you believe in the Tooth Fairy or the Loch Ness Monster? If faith can lead you to one thing, it can also lead you to a lot of demonstrably false, irrational, and dangerous places. So I hope that via this podcast and the many more episodes to come, I can lead you towards rational thinking, realistic thinking, scientific thinking, and critical thinking, and the ability to question your thoughts and beliefs, even if they have been indoctrinated into you since childhood. If I tell you that I have $100 in my wallet, you'll probably believe me, right? Because there's no reason to question something as simple as that. Now, if I told you I have $1,000,000 in my bank account, you'll probably think about it just a little bit, and you may have some doubts whether I'm exaggerating or lying. But if you knew about my background, how many years I've been in business, all the products and services I have, you'll probably give me the benefit of doubt and say, "Okay, that's quite reasonable. Ravi's not exactly saying he has $1 billion. But if I told you I'm the reincarnation of Vishnu, or that I'm the soul of Jesus who has come back to earth, you'll probably laugh me out of the room, right? So ordinary claims may require ordinary proof or not even require any proof. You can go on it by faith. But extraordinary claims require extraordinary proof. And there is no regular proof, let alone extraordinary proof that Superman is real. There's no proof that Harry Potter is real. There's no proof that Santa Claus is real and slides down chimneys and leaves presents for kids on Christmas. There's no proof that Jesus could perform miracles. There's no proof that Ravana had 10 heads. There's no proof that one can transfer their soul into another body for a month, have some fun, and come back into their body and resume business as usual. There's no proof that we have a quote-unquote soul that is so special and separate from your body or brain. Guess what? My father had a stroke and his brain ceased to function. So if somebody has a stroke and their brain functions fail, the critical brain functions, there's no separate soul. The mind is the soul, is the brain. A rose is a rose is a rose. Everything else is fancy words we tell ourselves to make ourselves feel special. There's no proof that there's an afterlife. Once we die, it's like going on very strong and permanent general anesthesia. It's like a light being switched off permanently. There's no coming back from that. And there's definitely no hell or heaven. It's all just permanent darkness. And then our body is burned or buried, depending on your religion, and then it disintegrates one way or the other. So please donate your organs and let it help somebody else, because you sure as hell won't be needing them where you're going. And that is, you're going into nothingness. We come from nothing and we go into nothing. So what did you think of this episode? Would you care to share your thoughts with me about this? If so, you can send me an email to ravi@xhinduatheist.com. That is R-A-V as in Victor, I@xhinduatheist.com. Or you can go to xhinduatheist.com/contact and you can email me from there. Or you can even leave me online voicemail from there. Just click a button and use your phone or computer's built-in mic and you can tell me what you think. Good, bad, or ugly. I'll take it. And I might even play your voicemail in the next episode. So please subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Or if you go to xhinduatheist.com on the homepage, you'll see an audio player right on the homepage, so you can send the link to anybody you know who's on the verge, who's on the fence, thinking about their religion and God and everything else. Or if you have a podcast app like Overcast or Pocket Casts or even Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, search for xhinduatheist, three words, and you should find the show. Cheers and talk soon.